great to have you here with me today. We're going to conclude our discussion in John chapter 21 regarding the confidence that Peter and John both received from Jesus. As I have said repeatedly, our confidence is found in reliance on Jesus Christ. I focused us on Peter and John, but of course, all of Jesus' disciples received their confidence from him. The same is true for us modern-day disciples of Christ. So if you're within the sound of my voice and you follow Christ, then this series is for you, particularly if you struggle to be a confident person, and I'll say more about this tomorrow. But for now, let's return to John 21, and let me read a few verses in our text. This is John chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. John chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. Truly, truly, I say to you that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this, Jesus said, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." The last few times we have covered verses 18 through 21, but I do want to pick up on the last words of Jesus to Peter in verse 21. Note these in your Bible when you can. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." That's important because we see that repeated in verse 22. There again, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." This is a resounding theme that Christ has for the disciples. Over and over again, we read it, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." That is what Jesus expects of us, all of us. But Peter has a deep concern for his friend John. I want to reread verse 20, but before I do, I ask you to remember that the disciple whom Jesus loved was John. John recorded all of this for us, but instead of referring to himself as John, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I also want to remind you, as the text does, that in a previous scene at the dinner, John was the one who leaned against the bosom of the Lord and asked Jesus that penetrating question about who would betray the Lord. So whatever Peter says here, he says referring to John. All right, listen to verses 20 through 21. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" As we have seen, Peter knows that Christ has forgiven him for his three denials. Peter has been restored to ministry, and Peter has been given the prophecy about how Peter will die. And now coming into verse 20, Peter inquires about his friend and fellow disciple John. "Lord, and what about this man?" Now, why did Peter ask about John? I think he asked because Peter loved John and was concerned about his future. I think Peter's thinking, well, Jesus has now told me how I will die, but what about my man John? I wonder what his future holds. And that's the way a lot of us feel too sometimes. We may have confidence in our lives going forward, but what about our friends and family? To Peter, John was very much like family, a true brother. So Peter expresses a concern or a worry, or at least Peter is wondering, what about John? And Jesus' response is instructive, as always, for us. Verse 22, Jesus said to Peter, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Let's talk about Jesus' reaction. First, this does not mean that John is still alive. The Apostle John is long dead, and the Bible actually tackles the rumor that Jesus meant that John would never die in the verse that follows the passage I read. To see what I mean, get your Bible out and read John 21, verse 23. I do not want to take time to read it now, but you'll quickly see what I mean when you read it for yourself. That's John chapter 21 and verse 23. Second, notice that Jesus takes the focus off of John and puts it right back on Peter. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, mind your own business, Peter. Do not worry about John. I'm speaking about your future, and I will deal with John in my own way. I have a destiny for John also, but don't you worry about it. This kind of reminds me of a parent sorting out the week for two brothers. A dad starts with the older boy. Now, this is what you're going to be doing, son. We've enrolled you in a summer camp, and it starts tomorrow and goes for 2 weeks. The older brother interrupts his dad, but what about him? Dad says, do not worry about your younger brother. I'll get to him in a minute. Right now, I'm talking about you. And when Jesus gets back to Peter, listen again to what he says. You follow me. Let me see if I can put this in our vernacular. Do not worry about John. You concern yourself with following me, Peter. I'll worry about John. You focus on me. Make me your number one priority. Be obsessed with me. Orient your whole life around me. I think this is what Jesus is saying strongly and clearly to Peter. And this, of course, is very true. This has application to our confidence as followers of Christ. We need to be concerned with our own followership, our own discipleship. Stop concerning ourselves, or in many cases, worrying ourselves about what's going on with other Christians. I can hear Jesus saying this to us today, you follow me. It's much easier, isn't it, to concern ourselves with the relationship that other people have to Jesus Christ. Sometimes this takes the form of genuine care. I think that's how Peter meant it. He loved John. He just wanted to know that John would be okay, or he wanted to know how his friend would die. But even out of genuine concern, Jesus says to us, you follow me. This means we have to entrust others to the Lord. Pray for them, yes, but do not become consumed by what the Lord is doing in their lives. Instead, focus on our own lives. When we compare and contrast ourselves to others, it really affects our confidence. Sometimes I look at another Christian and my confidence rises. Well, at least I am not like him. I perceive myself to be a more faithful disciple, but more often my confidence falls when I look across at another Christian and I see how she's shining for Christ. She seems so much more spiritually mature than me, or God is using her in some extraordinary ways that he is not doing with me, so my confidence goes way, way down. This is why we should not compare and contrast. We waste a tremendous amount of time doing this, and it's not really healthy for us. In fact, it leads us to sin. What should we do? Well, Jesus tells us what to do. I quote him again, "You follow me." God's design for your life is unique to you. Yes, we are all saved by God's grace alone, through our faith alone, in Jesus, but God has in store for me unique plans that will differ from what he has for you. Peter was martyred as a relatively young man. John was martyred as an old man. Peter ministered the gospel one way following the ascension of the Lord, and John in another. Both remained faithful to Jesus all their days, and both wrote books of the Bible, but how they wrote and what they addressed when they wrote differs on context. Maybe I can put it to you this way. Both followed Christ closely, but the ministry that God had for both of them differed. The same is true of us today. What Christ has in store for you is different than for me. Our mission is the same in that we're following Christ, but how our ministries play out is different based on his equipping and calling. My day-to-day looks different than yours in the details, but everyone around us should clearly understand that we're both Christ's people. I woke up this morning by God's grace, preparing to study the Bible and write for this ministry. And you woke up this morning by God's grace, preparing to do your job, whatever God has given you to do. Do not become focused on what Jesus is doing with others. Focus instead on what he is doing in your life. Focus on your own obedience to him. Every pastor also does some measure of counseling, and whenever I talk to people in my church about their lack of confidence, 90% of the time I find that they're doing a great deal of comparing and contrasting themselves to others. How come I am not more like her, or how come I'm not more like him? And so I begin to address this from the perspective of a pastor who cares deeply about them as persons dearly loved by God, persons for whom a lack of confidence really should not be an issue, given all that God offers the believer in Christ. And so over several weeks or months together, we talk about how such a person can reorient their lives to Jesus and follow him. In many instances that I can think of, this helps a lot. The person finds him or herself becoming more confident because their confidence really does come from Christ, whom they are now spending more time with. To be a more confident Christian, you really need to stop comparing and contrasting yourself to others. What you need to do is to be consumed by Christ. And how do you do this? Well, I'll give you some ideas right here on God Is tomorrow and Friday. So join me on those days. We're going to finish the week together talking about how God is our confidence. Let me end today with this. Are you following Christ? Have you said that you're a Christian, but you've wandered off the path of followership and found yourself lost? Here's good news. Today can be the day when you hear the words of Christ, "You follow me," and you do. It's time to repent of going your own way. Jesus always stands ready to forgive you of your sin, all of your sin. But are you ready to repent of it? This is a question you should wrestle with today. And I invite you, whoever you are and however you may be listening, to hear the voice of Jesus. You follow me. Those words are for you. And I urge you not to ignore Jesus or put him off. Instead, I urge you to respond positively to him today. Say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And then by his grace, do it. It is never too late to make this change in your life. Why not get started today? And I'm available by email to discuss this more with you if you'd like. My email address will be given to you now. And I hope that you'll be back here tomorrow for more of God Is.